From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of April 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Discuss the cash grain markets with the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, and Nebraska about crop progress and conditions in their regions. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. The May corn at $6 a penny and three quarters, down 15 cents today. July at $5.94, 13 and a quarter lower. September at $5.39 and three quarters, down one and three quarters. And the December futures at $5.28 and three quarters, down a penny. The March contract of next year at $5.40 and a quarter, down one. May of next year at $5.48 and a half. And July at penny lower at $5.55 and a quarter. December 2013 at $5.30 and a half, unchanged on the day. The May wheat in Chicago for the soft red at $6.10 and three quarters, down four and three quarters. July, four and a half lower at $6.15 and three quarters. And the hard red in Kansas City, $6.34 and a half, down six and a quarter. Now the beans and the products, May futures at $14.07 and three quarters in the bean pit, down 18 cents on the afternoon. July at $14.13 and a half, down 18, and August at $14.02. That's down 17 and a quarter. November beans at $13.37 and three quarters, down 17 and three quarters. Bean meal at $3.90.60, down 3.20. Bean oil at $55.19, down 57. Live cattle futures from the Mercantile Exchange today, a June contract at $114.82 and a half, down $1.75. August at $118.15, that's down $1.50. May feeder cattle at $152 and 2.5 cents, down $1.10. August at $155.52 and a half, down $1.17 and a half. And June lean hogs today at $87.35, down $2.42 and a half cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures on the afternoon. May contract, $102.70 a barrel, down $1.50. Ethanol at $2.12, that's down 3 6/10 of a cent. And natural gas at $1.94 9/10, 2/10 of a cent lower. Heating oil, diesel fuel, $3.11 9/10 of a cent, down 7/10 of a cent. And gold futures on the day, $11.50 lower at $1,638.80 a troy ounce. The U.S. dollar at 79.5. That's down 0.02. The CRB index at 299.19, down 2.85. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Yet this afternoon, sunny skies, a high of 72. It's beautiful outside with a south-southwest wind at 11 to 13, gusting to 17, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 75 degrees with a south-southwest wind between 8 and 17, gusting to 25. Tomorrow evening, cloudy and 54. Friday, showers, few thunderstorms will be likely. Cloudy, a high of 62 degrees with the north-northwest wind on Friday at 6 to 13 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation set at 60% Friday night. Chance of showers, mostly cloudy, about 40% for the chance of showers. And Saturday, partly sunny and a high of 55 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 38. Sunny on Sunday, a high of 58. Sunday night, mostly clear, a low of 39 degrees. Monday, sunny and 63. Monday night, partly cloudy and 45. Tuesday, mostly sunny and a high near 69 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd, on this gorgeous, beautiful April afternoon.
Oh, what a beautiful day it is to plant corn. I think I saw a few farmers in the fields not planting yet, but the further to the west you go, the more likely I think they are to be in the field today. How about in your area?
Well, we had a nice big heavy rain, and there is definitely a large percentage of farmers done, and I think the further north and west you go into Iowa, it's more percentage yet to plant. Generally, the feeling is that the corn that's in the ground right now is just what the doctor ordered, and we have to be very optimistic. And what's really scary is when they say that 40% of the U.S. corn crop planted by May the 1st, it's 2 to 3 bushel push in yield, and I would say 5 to 7. But that's Paul Cooley's quick math, and I really feel that the state average could even be higher than that 40% at the present time.
Well,
but it's really going fast. It'll go fast.
It's going fast, Paul. When you do the quick math, does it give you a number on the backside of what September and December corn might look like?
Well, yeah. If this trend continues and we have normal rainfall, I do feel that we will go lower. And I was in the office here this morning listening to someone tell somebody and talk about the corn basis levels. And if we do have this big bin buster crop, one thing for sure, storage is going to be a premium, and we are going to have a big crop. My hunch is, of course, we have a lot of things from A to B to go through, and I think these cooler temperatures and the rainfall we've had, we'll get the crop growing and in perfect shape. And as I understand it, a lot of people are going on and pushing for beans. The only thing I always worry about beans planted in mid-April, of course, is that sudden death syndrome problems if there is any stress. But they're going in perfect condition, and maybe that will be eliminated with the quality seed bed they're going into.
Soybeans led things down today. Why?
Well, number one, big open interest. Everybody, it's been quite popular to be long soybeans and maybe short corn, new corn, maybe short wheat. But everybody from every hedge fund in the world has been long soybeans. It's advertised. There were people that were saying yesterday we'd see an Argentine bean crop smaller by 2 or 3 million tons. We just reached a certain level here that, beans got awfully expensive. Our farmer friends are telling us the seed companies are encouraging more seed bean acres. Our farmer friends are saying in south half of Illinois, when there was no anhydrous or pre-plant fertilizer anhydrous being put on, some of those people are going to go to soybeans. The last USDA planting intentions report basically talked about 2 million less wheat acres and 2 million row crop that could have been and prevent that should have showed up as far as being in the total mix. And so our arithmetic is that the bean number is going to be bigger. Is it demand driven in soybean meal? Well, it could be. The Chinese crush margins are better. The U.S. crush margins are better. We do have substitutes called lysine and corn gluten feed. But the problem is the market is going in steps, and with almost picture-perfect weather here in the U.S. and around the world, $14 beans is probably a little risky on the risk of ownership right here.
Okay, take me through a couple of things. If you've got old crop at this point, are you still willing to gamble with it? And then on new crop, a wholly sort of different kind of thing, because you've got beans still trading above the crop insurance price, but cash prices for corn, of course, below that. What do you do?
Well, on soybeans, we are definitely above the $14 mark, and that's a very good price level. As far as new crop beans are concerned, We are hearing the word, if we're going to plant more acres, we need to do some pricing. I think I would still wait a little longer for the pricing opportunity on new crop beans. As far as the corn's concerned, I would have been out of old crop corn, and I would have been 100% hedged in the new crop. Three things. The 95 million acres was enough to scare me. The quick, easy plant is enough to scare me. And the general idea is that, you know, when you start talking about 1.6 to 1.8 billion bushels of corn carryover next year, that's enough for anybody. And, of course, we've got this wheat harvest. Without this early frost in wheat, the harvest is going to be earlier. We're going to have plenty of feed grain substitutes. I just can't get bullish the feed grain area right now. And, unfortunately, my surveys indicate the farmers have been rather haven't sold enough new crop corn, and that's unfortunate.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Have a nice day, and always nice to talk to you, and have that profitable day.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much, Paul.
Bye.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture, after a day's delay because of a fire in the basement of one of the NAS buildings in Washington, D.C., released the weekly crop progress report. It showed that corn was planted at the rate of 17% nationwide as of the 15th day of April. That's ahead of the rolling five-year average, and last year both were 5% planted. There was no national number released for corn emerged. Winter wheat headed was set at 29% as of the 15th day of April. That's ahead of pace as well. The rolling five-year average is 8%, and the condition of the wheat crop is said to be 30% good, 6% excellent. That compares to the previous week of 47% good and 14% excellent. There were no numbers on the national level released for soybeans planted either, although USDA says that next week we will see both the planted figure for soybeans and the emerged number for corn. Now, here are some updates from Indiana, Illinois, and Nebraska on conditions in their states.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with a crop weather report for the week ending April 15, 2012. Strong storms late in the week delayed field activities but increased soil moisture levels. High winds, tornadoes, and hail damaged property in some parts of the state. However, the general rain was welcome and should aid germination of spring planted crops. Corn planting made little progress and stood at 4% complete. Seeding of oats was 3/4 completed with 1/3 of the crop emerged. Wheat jointed at 38% was 2.5 weeks ahead of average, creating concern for potential freeze damage. Wheat conditions rated 5% poor, 32 fair, 54 good, and 9 excellent, well above last year's 41% good to excellent. Soil temperatures cooled and ranged from the low 50s in the west to mid-50s in the east. Cattle and calves were in mostly good to excellent condition. Spring calving was 88% complete with calf losses below average. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office in Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending April 15th. Most of the farms across the state made significant advances in field preparation and planting until weekend showers and high winds slowed field work. Many areas of the state received frost during the week, raising farmers' concern for damage to early planted corn and soybeans. No measure of the extent of damage is available at this time. The record planting pace continued for corn, well ahead of the 10% planted at this time in 2004. Indiana farmers also established a new record planting pace for soybeans. Precipitation averaged from 0.01 to 2.06 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 79 to a low of 22 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 5.9 days were rated suitable for field work. Indiana corn planting was 24% complete, compared to 2% complete at this time last year and 2% for the five-year average. By regions of the state, 16% of the intended corn acreage is planted in northern Indiana, with 26% planted in the central region and 33% planted in southern Indiana. 3% of the corn acreage has emerged, compared with 0% for last year and the five-year average. planting of soybeans was 5% complete compared to 0% for last year and the average. 57% of the winter wheat acreage is in the jointed stage compared to 19% for last year and 22% for the five-year average. 9% of the winter wheat is headed compared to 0% for last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat condition for the week was rated at 79% good to excellent compared to 58% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions. Statewide temperatures averaged a near normal 51.4 degrees, and rainfall accumulations came in at 98 one-hundredths of an inch, which was only 9 one-hundredths below normal for the 7-day period ending April 15th. However, most of the much-needed rainfall came over the weekend. There were just over 5 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies improved to 3% very short, 24% short, 61% adequate, and 12% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 64% adequate or surplus, an increase of 11 percentage points for these two categories. The wettest crop reporting district was the southeastern district, where topsoil moisture supplies were rated 66% adequate and 32% surplus. Corn planting advanced by 24 percentage points to 41% complete. This compares to 8% planted last year and 6% for the five-year average. To put this progress in perspective, in just 7 days, Illinois farmers planted 3 million acres of corn. Much of the early planted corn has also emerged at 11%. This compares with 0% last year and for the five-year averages. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn progress was the West Southwestern District at 69% planted and 34% emerged. Soybean planting now stands at 2% complete statewide. Like corn, this is also considered an early start for soybean planting, where we normally do not expect planting to begin in earnest until late April or early May. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 40%, well ahead of normal for this time of year, and condition of the winter wheat crop was rated in 77% good or excellent. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians in Illinois, Nebraska, and Indiana for those updates. As the weeks go along, we'll have updates also from Minnesota and Iowa over the growing season. Now, up next, you know, farmers are using smartphones. I'll have more on a couple of Illinois agronomy apps designed for field use. Farmers for a very long time, the mid-1980s, if you count DTN as a web delivery method, have been able to go online to find and use agricultural-related information. The transition from the computer screen to handheld devices, like a smartphone, is just beginning. The University of Illinois has moved two of its most popular online calculators to the Android platform. Dennis Bowman developed the Illinois MRTN, or Maximum Return to Nitrogen Calculator app.
So we got it working and started sending it out to a few people to look at, and the response was good. We've sent out a lot of copies of that. One of the first responses I got back was, this is really cool, but I'd really like something that could do crop removal rates for phosphorus and potassium. It's a simple calculation, but I can't remember the conversion numbers in my head for corn and soybeans and phosphorus and potassium. So is there a way we could put that on an app? And so said, that's probably even simpler than the MRTN.
If you'd like a copy of the Android apps, email Dennis Bowman at ndbowman@illinois.edu. That's ND for Norman Dennis Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, ndbowman@illinois.edu. Another way to get information from Illinois is to visit this website on your smartphone, any smartphone. The address is m.willag.org, that's M for mobile, .willag.org. There you'll find daily market and weather analysis in the form of audio files. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois on a Wednesday afternoon. You'll find agricultural news and information from the Farm Doc team, too. There's an RSS news feed from the Ag Economist, that's Farm Doc, and one from the Crop Scientist, that's the Bulletin. The address of the Illinois smartphone webpage is m.willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Strategic Farm Marketing, Boulder Design, Stuart Peterson, and Pioneer Seeds. Thank you for your continued support.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market is Ben Stoller. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Ben. Tell me how much how many producers are moving along in their planting of corn, and have they switched to beans yet in your area?
That is a great question, Todd. We have seen quite a bit of planting done here. I would slate the planting here in the Delphi, Logansport area, corn probably 60 to 70% done. And I have heard of some acres switching to beans. It's certainly attractive at these levels. So I would say, average farmer maybe, 40 to 80 acres, a small field switching over. So, yeah, we certainly have seen some acres switching over, but not a whole lot.
When they call, do they ask very much about the price of new crop beans?
They do. That's kind of been all the news lately, and that's kind of been the only good news is just this strong rally we've seen in beans. I mean, granted, this week's been a little bit different in terms of November beans, but it's just been kind of up, up, up.
Have they priced it out?
Yep, we're down 18 on the board today. So kind of some thought that maybe the rally has done its work and bought some acres, maybe giving us some of the weakness we're seeing.
Yeah, but have producers been selling new crop along with that?
We have seen a fair amount of new crop bean sales as we've rallied.
Okay. And then how well is the ethanol plant functioning at this point in terms of margin?
Right, margin's not great. There is margin right now, and at this time we cannot pencil in any margin out into the later parts of the summer. But we're grinding full bore, and there is margin at this time, and basis remains firm. Especially to our south, we've seen some ethanol producers really paying some large numbers in that 40 over range.
Wow, that I did not realize that was still happening. So you've got big basis for old crop. Do you expect that will continue for very long?
Yeah, certainly do expect for, certainly through planting here, guys are in the field, they're busy, and so we're seeing some producer movement, and it's just taking some, stronger basis in order to get that grain moving
and
at this time.
Your bids for the day?
Corn to Delphi, we're at 6:15. Corn to Climbers, 6:28. Corn to the IBEC ethanol plant, 6:17. And beans to our Delphi facility, 13.98.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you.
Back in just 2 minutes with the Ag Weather here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National Animal Crackers Day. The product we know today as animal crackers came into being in 1902, but it had existed in similar forms for generations. Many local U.S. bakeries in the late 1800s made different versions of animals or circus crackers. In 1902, the National Biscuit Company renamed their animal biscuits Barnum's Animals. And just in time for Christmas, the package was redesigned as a circus wagon with a string attached to it so it could be hung on a Christmas tree. By the way, over the years, at least 37 different animals have been featured in Barnum's Animal Crackers. On this day in agricultural history in 1863, H.L. Callender was born. Callender was an English physicist whose son Guy would eventually link climate change with increases in carbon dioxide resulting from mankind's burning of carbon fuels. In 1872, Bernard Ogilvy Dodge was born. Dodge was an American botanist and pioneer researcher on heredity in fungi. Dodge spent his childhood working on his father's farm before entering the University of Wisconsin, where he became interested in botany and lower plants. Dodge served more than two decades at the New York Botanical Garden, where he specialized in control of plant disease and insect pests. By the way, Dodge's maternal grandmother, Rebecca Norse, was hung at age 71 as a witch during the Salem witch trials. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on the phone line to look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start right here in the Midwest. What can we expect over the next few days, Drew?
Well, we have a couple of very weak little weather disturbances that will be passing through the region, scattering some showers, maybe offering anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch upwards to as much as three quarters of an inch of rain. That'll be the maximum. I think most of the amounts will be less than that, probably around four tenths of an inch or less, probably. This first disturbance will pass through the upper parts of the Midwest here overnight tonight and into the day tomorrow. This will be from portions of South Dakota, Nebraska, up into the Great Lakes region. After that, there will be some new development that will occur down in Missouri and Kansas, and that will head off into the heart of the Midwest as we move into the day on Friday. And all the precipitation is going to be relatively light until the storm system gets to the southeast corner of the country, and then finally we'll see some flaring of the thunderstorms perhaps through the Carolinas. But for the most part, the Midwest is going to be able to continue doing some field work in and out and in between of these showers and thunderstorms that occur, and temperatures are expected to be relatively mild. I don't think we're going to see a lot of heat, and that's something that we probably could use is a little bit of warmer weather, especially back in the northern Midwest where we've seen those soil temperatures back off to the point where we're below 50 degrees once again. But there is going to be a little bit of warm-up, but it's about a week away before we get started with that.
When it comes, how warm?
Probably going to see 70s, I would think. Now, some of the southwestern Corn Belt, parts of Kansas, maybe a couple spots in Missouri or Nebraska, could get up over 80 degrees, but I don't think we'll see that very far into the Midwest. Now, before we even get into that, we will still see a risk of some frosty conditions coming up. That will occur this weekend ahead of the warmth that we talk about for next week. And the frost that's going to come on won't be anything like that which we saw last week. It should be soft frost for the most part, temperatures above freezing, but in the 30s. And there will be a few pockets in those low-lying areas that will get down to the 30 to 32-degree range. But we shouldn't do nearly as much damage as we did last week. But, of course, some of these crops are a little bit further along than they were a week ago. I really don't expect to see any real serious negative impact from the cold.
The cold, nonetheless, will slow down the crop. And the beginning to the growing season, which looked and Monday was set at 17% planted for corn, I suppose, won't be quite as far along as maybe we thought it was 3 weeks ago.
That's right. We've got the crop in the ground, but it's really not going anywhere. And as we continue to look at these waves of cooler air, we're probably going to not see the growth rates all that fantastic. So eventually we'll lose ground and we'll be back to where we would be in a normal spring season. And with that comment about the cooler weather around, even though we get warmer next week, please be aware of the fact that the trend models all out there suggest that we will see additional waves of coolness coming through the Midwest, especially the eastern areas, as we get into the first half of May. So we are not necessarily done with the frosty environment.
You're going to take a quick look at China for me.
China is doing superbly at this point in time. There is some dryness in the far northeast of the country. We've got to watch that a little rather closely, but we've got a few weeks yet before they get into the heart of their growing season, so some of that dryness can be eliminated. But the heart of wheat and rapeseed country is looking doing very well. Early corn planting is going along well. Also, we do have some good mixing of rain and sunshine occurring across that country with seasonable to slightly warmer than normal temperatures prevailing at the moment.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.